It's very good to see you here. I want to welcome you to this church. I came to this church in August of 1975 and was entertained by Dick and Joanne Ayers. Over the years, Dick and I experienced amazing things. Before I read the scripture text, I have to tell you one story. Dick was a master storyteller, and he could get you in stitches. I'll never forget, and I have to change a name. Let's see. How about Jethro? I remember one evening when I had a phone call from Jethro's wife, who was worried about her husband. I don't know where Jethro is. And so I called my sidekick, Dick Ayers, and he and I went into every bar in central Louisiana, every single one, and we looked around. Finally, at the old Sheraton, I saw Jethro. Dick's sense of humor, not unlike my sense of humor, has a little bit of sadism in it. And I said to Dick, I said, over to our right, you'll see Jethro with a woman who is not his wife. I said, make sure he doesn't see you seeing him. So we walked past Jethro, who was in a three-piece suit with a very painted lady. And so I noticed out of my peripheral vision, Jethro going down under the table. And again, with that same sense of humor that Dick had, we waited until we had passed him. And we turned around and said, hey, Jethro. And Jethro came up and his head hit the table. And he chases us out and said, you're not going to tell Mayella, are you? Not her name. And we never did. That story to me illustrates a lot about Dick Ayers. Because Dick loved people. And Dick loved the Lord Jesus. And Dick was willing to put himself in all kinds of awkward situations to do something for somebody. And that man needed to be confronted. But you know the neat thing about Jethro is that Jethro knew both about Dick and about me that we weren't sitting there in condemnation of him, because he knew that we knew that we no more deserved heaven than anybody else. And so Jethro was very comfortable later on in life with Dick and with me. I want to tell you another story before I read scripture. I had been the pastor of Grace Church here about 2 months back in the fall of 1975, and I got a phone call from Dick one Sunday afternoon. He said, Bob, could you come over to my house and talk with me? I said, sure. So I went over there, and he had a question. It was a very strange question. He said, I have been cheated out of a lot of money. I think it was about $100,000. And he said, I need to know, would the Bible permit me to sue this individual to reclaim my loss? So we went through the scriptures here and there, sorting through text, because for Dick, and I'm holding his most valued material possession in my hands, his Bible. It was true of him in verse 1 of Psalm 112. Praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Dick so delighted in the commandments of God that he did not want to displease or dishonor God. He did not want to sue somebody if Scripture would have forbade him to do that. You know, when I left his home that day, I realized that I was dealing with somebody who was very different than most people. You know, there are people who can write a check and give money away. But when it comes to being cheated, wow, that's really tough. To be willing to be cheated out of money, particularly a large sum of money. From that day forward, I saw that man in a very different light. That's one of the things about preachers. They get to know people really, really well. I saw him as one of those very rare people, a truly honest man. There aren't a lot of honest people around. When push comes to shove, most people would go ahead, even if the Bible said don't do something, and do it if it involved personal hurt. And so I was struck with that about Dick. And I have to say that Dick, of all the people I've known, was the best person I've ever known. He was also the wisest person I've ever known. Although that was balanced by his wanting to think the best of people and therefore being able to be a little bit conned by people at times because he always was determined to think the best. So I want to read it further in Psalm 112 because I think that it says a lot about Dick. In verse 3 of Psalm 112, it says, "Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." God blessed Dick Ayers financially. He was not the wealthy man that he later became at the time when I came here. Petron was not Petron at that time. It was a small company, Richardson Ayers Jobber, meaning it was an oil jobber for Skelly, a now non-existent oil company. But over the years, and this illustrates Dick, I think, profoundly as well, he decided to change the name of the oil company as it diversified in a lot of things. And he wanted the name to reflect something that would honor God. And so the name was changed to the Greek word for rock. Of course, we get petroleum, oil rock, from that. But he changed the name of the company to reflect Christ, the solid rock. Because Dick eschewed personal praise. He didn't want to be recognized. And so God blessed Dick financially, incredibly, over the years. And I'm going to give you a reason why. St. Paul quotes from Psalm 112 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he tells us this, that we can never outgive God. Dick delighted in secretly giving away a lot of money. I remember asking him one time, I said, "Dick, how is it that God has blessed you financially and you are not in love with money?" I'll never forget his answer. He said, "Bob, it's very hard." And he said, "The only way not to love money is to give a lot of it away very regularly." I'm struck with that. God bless Dick because Dick delighted in honoring the Lord Jesus Christ with his wealth to help people. And he did it anonymously. There are no plaques around here. There's no memorial here. And yet, I have to say, having served this church for 40 years, that without Dick, there wouldn't be a Grace Christian School. He came to love that school. He even had a dream one time about islands of ministry. And he came to see that God was revealing to him how there would be islands of ministry right on this property to minister to the least of these. "Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Now, how is that? Well, Dick sought to build monuments, not to himself, but to honor other people especially to honor the Lord. And as I reflect on Dick and that, I'm reminded of a Latin phrase, non sibi sed suis. There may be a couple of people here who recognize that Latin motto. That's the motto of Sophie Newcomb College and Tulane University. Not for oneself, but for one's own. In other words, he wanted to give things away to do good for the cause of Christ for people. And I'm struck with something there. Tomorrow, in Natchez, Mississippi, Dick will be buried next to his grandson, William Andrew Hillicky, on Andrew's 37th birthday. When Andrew died, Dick wanted to remember Andrew in a certain way. And so Dick gave money to fund the genetics lab at Belhaven University. I'm struck with that. It's not the Dick Ayers genetics lab. He did it to honor another person. That's what he was always about, honoring other people. There were two times in my life. One time I almost had a nervous breakdown. It was in the early fall of 1986. I remember weeping and wailing in a meeting with our officers. And Dick took me out. And he walked me around for 30 or 40 minutes as I sobbed and wept and wailed with his arm around me, praying for me and encouraging me. He was with me through thick and thin. Years later, I did have a breakdown in 2015, which is when I retired from here. In my worst times and in my best times, Dick Ayers was always there for me. When my only sibling dropped dead of a heart attack, it was Dick who came out to the church along with his friend Randy Pius. And they consoled me. They prayed for me. They helped me. Again and again in my life, he helped me. And so as I look at Dick, I see his righteousness enduring forever. Even in this life, in the sense that he sought to honor Christ in what he did and not to get the glory and the credit for himself. But you know, all of this brings it down to this point. As he, in verse 9, gave freely to the poor, and his righteousness endured forever, Dick has a better inheritance. Dick has already entered into that inheritance somewhat, but there's more to come. Because there's coming a great getting up morning when the dead in Christ will rise. He will rise. And why is he getting that wonderful inheritance? There's only one reason. And if I fail to say this, even as Brian Rhodes mentioned, if I fail to say this, Dick would be terribly insulted at my words. He would die if I didn't go on to say this. And that is, Dick Ayers, as with me and as with you, would understand that nothing in my hands do I bring. Simply to thy cross do I cling. And I would be terribly remiss and insulting this man's memory if I failed to say what I'm about to say. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture tells us something. It tells us that we are saved by grace alone, received through faith alone, but by a faith that's never alone, but always accompanied by a changed life. Dick's changed life was a fruit of a lively, hearty faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that he was able to keep that which Dick had committed unto him against that day. I have no doubt that Dick Ayers is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because he was a great man or a good man or a generous man, but because he had a great and good and generous Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved him and gave himself up for him. And that's what I have to say to you today. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? The thing that he would want me to do is to ask that question of you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Were you to die today, do you know where you would go? Dick would want you to know, and to know for sure, that you would go to heaven. May we pray. Lord, bless these feeble words of mine, attempting to give honor to whom honor is due, but in a way that ultimately deflects that honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would honor Christ, for so Dick is honored, and that you would bless each of us here as we receive your blessing in song through Dick's great-grandchildren. In Jesus' name, amen.